Good morning and welcome to New Life Online today. All of our New Life family, our family back in New Orleans and others that are watching from different parts of the country, we want to wish all the moms a very happy Mother's Day this morning. Wish we could all be together again as families here, but wherever you are, I trust that you are with family, if at all possible. And again, we just wish that you have just a really great Mother's Day with your family this morning. I'd like us to talk for a few minutes today from this thought, a mother's influence, a mother's influence. Moms, you are so influential in the life of your family. I don't know how influential you really realize that you are, but you guys, just you moms, you set the tone in our homes. Such a blessing to not only the kids and grandkids possibly, but also your husbands as well. And so I want to open up from a very familiar portion just briefly from Proverbs 31. It's a great verse or part of a chapter actually on the wife of noble character. So let's pick up at Proverbs 31, verse number 10. And it says this, "A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life." And then skipping down to verse number 28, it says this, "Her children arise and called her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive, and beauty is fleeting. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate." Ladies, again, your influence upon your homes and your families is just unmeasurable. You know, your demeanor in the home, the way you decorate your home, the touches that you place upon so many areas of our home life, your influence is just so important. Your influence upon your children and upon grandchildren, if you have them as well, is, again, immeasurable to them. And so you're leaving a lasting legacy to your family by your influence in their lives. And you know what? Your prayers for them are such an influence upon them as well. Probably greater than anything you could do is the prayers that you send up to the throne of God for your kids and for your grandkids. That is just unbelievable for the welfare and the blessing upon your kids and upon your grandkids. So ladies, we appreciate you so much for so many things, but it's that godly influence that is so important to your family. Proverbs 11:16 tells us this, "A kind-hearted woman gains respect." That's one of the attributes of so many of you moms, your kind-heartedness, if you will. That kind, the Bible says, and gentle spirit is of great value in the eyes of God. And so a kind-hearted woman gains respect. You are respected for the kind of heart that you have. That's another influence that you exert on the lives of people around you, not just your family, but friends and even strangers that you meet. They sense this kind-heartedness in you, and it gains you respect in the eyes of others. And then in 1 Timothy chapter 3, Paul is writing to his son in the Lord, Timothy, one of the young men that he mentors, concerning the appointment in churches of deacons and also deaconesses, along with the attributes to look for in those people. And so in relation to the office of deaconesses for the ladies who serve in leadership roles in our churches, Paul tells Timothy in verse number 11 of that same chapter, he says, "They are to be women worthy of respect." A kind-hearted woman, we just read, will gain her respect. And Paul tells Timothy, these women that you select to be leaders in your congregations should be women who are worthy of respect, worthy of being respected. They should not be malicious talkers, Paul writes, but they should be temperate and trustworthy in everything. Temperate and trustworthy in everything, in every area of their lives. The word temperate means this: not self-indulgent, but moderate in one's actions and speech. So important that actions and speech go hand in hand. It's not just what we say, but it's what we do. And so Paul says these women should be moderate in their actions and also in their speech. And they should be women who are self-restrained. Now, there's another phrase that is used in the New Testament, and it's called self-control. It's one of the fruit of the Spirit. And so this woman who is temperate and trustworthy, she should also be self-controlled or self-restrained. Again, the balance that God is looking for in the lives of everyone, but especially in the life of a mom. And you know, there are so many examples of godly moms in Scripture, but on this Mother's Day, we're going to look at just a few. In fact, just four ladies, all from the New Testament, that we're going to look at this morning. Again, there's so many throughout the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, and there are examples of really good moms, like we're going to look at today, but there's also examples of moms that maybe are not so good in regards to their influence on the lives of their kids. And so, but this morning, again, we're concentrating on four very godly moms, very influential moms in the lives of their children. And they're all, again, in the New Testament. So this morning, I want us to turn to the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, and we're going to go to chapter number 1. And again, Paul is writing this second book to Timothy, and we know that it's his last book that Paul will ever write. He's about to be martyred for his faith, and so he writes again to this young man that he's mentored for a number of years. And so 2 Timothy chapter 1, we're picking up at verse number 3, and it says this. Paul says, I thank God whom I serve as my forefathers did, with a clear conscience, as night and day, I constantly remember you in my prayers. Paul is telling Timothy, you know what? I love you, and you're always in my prayers. And then verse 4 says, I'm recalling your tears. I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. And I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you, Timothy, to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. I want us to concentrate in this portion this morning on just one verse there, verse number 5. And he says this, I have been reminded, Timothy, of your sincere faith. Paul saw that attribute in this young man, Timothy. He says, I'm always reminded of this sincere faith that you have in your life and in your walk and in your relationship with Jesus. And he said, you know what? This faith first lived in your grandmother Lois, but also I've seen it in your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded that even now it lives within you also, Timothy. And so, ladies, to have influence, such a godly influence as these ladies, Lois and Eunice, the grandmother and the mother of Timothy, ladies, to have that influence of a sincere faith that your kids and your grandkids can see in your life and in your walk with the Lord is so important. That's a godly influence that you can extend and bless your kids and your grandkids with. They need to see you getting alone with God on a daily basis in your time of prayer, your time of Bible study. They need to see you being faithful to the house of God, bringing them to church, not just dropping them off, but bringing them to church with you and watching you live your faith. What we said earlier, your actions as well as your speech, not just telling them how they should live, but showing them how they should live. So important that your actions back up your words. And we see this in the lives of these two ladies, Timothy's grandmother Lois and his mom Eunice. Let's go a little bit deeper in this book, 2 Timothy chapter 3, and just a couple of verses there as we continue to look at this godly influence of this grandmother and this mother of Timothy. Chapter 3, verse 14 says this. Paul tells Timothy, "But as for you, Timothy, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." Man, this is so rich, such a good portion of Scripture here. He says, Timothy, as for you, in your case, I want you to just continue in what you've already learned and what you've become convinced of. You know what the Word says. You've been taught it, and you're convinced in your faith and in your mind that this is true. This Word of God is really true. And he says, because you know who you learned these Scriptures from. You know that it was the influence of your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice that taught you these Scriptures. And look at this, from infancy, the earliest stages of a child's life, you've known the Holy Scriptures. Ladies, it's so important, even if you're carrying a child right now, it's so important to just even pray out loud, vocally, to read the Bible out loud, even to that child that's being formed inside of you right now. It's so important for them to hear your voice and to hear the Word of God from infancy even. He says, you've known the Holy Scriptures. They're able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Those principles were taught to Timothy from infancy by his grandmother and his mother. What a godly influence and what a godly heritage and legacy that those two ladies left to Timothy. What a blessing in his life. And then the story that we're going to talk about next, the next two ladies, the next two mothers that we're talking about, is very intertwined. And I want us to go to maybe an unusual portion of Scripture for Mother's Day, but I want us to go to Luke chapter number 1. Luke chapter number 1. And the Scriptures won't pop up on the screen from here on to the end. I want you to follow along with me. If you've got a Bible or maybe on one of your devices you have the Bible on it, turn with me to Luke chapter 1, and we're going to begin with verse number 5. Luke chapter 1 and verse number 5. And the subtitle in the NIV says this, "The birth of John the Baptist foretold." So it's going to be a foretelling that this couple is going to have a son, and it's going to be the famous John the Baptist. So verse number 5 of Luke chapter 1, let's begin. And it says this, "In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah, who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron." So both mom and dad of the future John the Baptist were from the priestly line. They were both from priestly families. And in verse 6 it says, "Both of them were upright in the sight of God." That's so important. Not only were they upright, an upright man and an upright woman, but they were upright in the sight of God, not just in the sight of man or mankind, not just in the sight of maybe a family member or maybe their friends, but they were upright in God's eyes. That's so important. That's so important for us to try to emulate that as well, to be upright in God's eyes. Doesn't matter what the world thinks or what somebody else may think, But what does God think about us? And you moms out there, what does God think about you, about your performance as a wife, as a mother? What does God think about that? But it says also that these two were observing all the Lord's commandments and his regulations blamelessly. Wow, they were just to the T following God's commands. Verse 7, but they had no children because Elizabeth was barren and they were both well along in years. Now this was a very touchy situation in their day and in their time for a woman not to have children. It was a kind of a cultural thing that people thought, well, you know, maybe God is displeased with this couple for some reason because they can't have children. That was kind of the thought back in the day. And we see in Scripture there were several ladies that were in this condition, and yet later in life, God blessed them with a child. And so we're going to see that God does that for this couple as well. Verse 8 says this, once when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and to burn incense. That was part of his job as a priest at that time. Verse 10, and when the time came for the burning of incense, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, this angel, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. That's an awesome thing for us to realize, moms, dads, all of us, that God really does hear our prayers. What a comforting thought. The angel says, your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. He will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. Wow. And then he says, he is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. There were a few characters in Scripture, Old Testament, and now here in the New, where this was the case, that the mom and dad were told, look, this child, don't drink any wine, no fermented drink, and this child will be filled with the Holy Spirit from birth. I think about Samson in the Old Testament, and now here we are, the prophecy about John the Baptist in the New. Verse 16, many of the people of Israel, the angel continues, will he, John, bring back to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, and finally to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. I love this. And this is actually a prophecy from the book of Malachi. As Malachi closes that last book of the Old Testament before the 400 silent years, before the New Testament comes, the prophet Malachi says that there's going to be this Elijah coming before the return or before the coming of the Messiah to turn the hearts of the children to the fathers and the fathers to the children. And this person will prepare the way for the Lord, for the Messiah who is to come. And that's exactly what this angel is prophesying to Zechariah about his soon coming son, John, who will become John the Baptist. Well, let's skip down to verse number 23 of this same chapter, Luke chapter 1. And it says this, when his time, Zechariah's time of service as priest was completed, he returned home. After this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and for 5 months remained in seclusion. She says, the Lord has done this for me, and in these days he has shown his favor and has taken away my disgrace among the people. Just what we mentioned earlier about it being kind of a negative thing for a woman not to have a child at that time and in that culture. And she says, God has shown me favor. Ladies, I know that if you've served the Lord very long, you've been blessed to know God's favor in your life, God's blessing upon your life. And so Elizabeth said, God has shown me his favor by allowing me to become pregnant. And he's taken away my disgrace in the midst of this culture around me. And so God has done a good thing for me. And then it transitions for just a little bit here from Elizabeth and her husband Zechariah. Now we go to the foretelling by a different angel, another angel, of the birth of Christ. So let's pick up at verse number 26. And it says, in the sixth month, that would be the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. Remember, we just read that for 5 months she was in seclusion. But now in the sixth month of her pregnancy, God sent an angel, or the angel Gabriel, to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. Obviously, this is going to be the father, the earthly father of Jesus. And it says, the virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you. Moms out there, I want you to know that you are highly favored by the Lord, and you are loved by the Lord. And most importantly, the Lord is with you. The Lord is for you, and the Lord is in you if you know Christ as your Savior. Verse 29 says, Mary initially was greatly troubled at this angel's words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, do not be afraid. The same thing that the angel had told to Zechariah, don't be afraid, the angel says to Mary. And it says, you have found favor with God. Just as Elizabeth said, God has blessed me with favor. So now the angel tells Mary, you have found favor with God. Verse 31, the angel says, you will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. The angel told Zechariah, you're to give your child the name John. And now the angel tells Mary, you are to give your son the name Jesus. Verse 32, he, Jesus, will be called great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob, or the house of Israel, forever. His kingdom, the kingdom of this baby to be born, Jesus, his kingdom will never end. That's a fulfillment also of the prophecy of Isaiah. Verse 34, Mary asks the question, how will this be, since I am a virgin? The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God, Emmanuel, God with us. Even Elizabeth, verse 36, even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month, the sixth month of her pregnancy. And it's interesting that Mary and Elizabeth are relatives. Most commentators would agree that they were cousins. Even though there's a disparity, obviously, in age, Elizabeth being much older than Mary, who's just a young girl, maybe mid-teens, late teens, something like that. And so there's a big difference in their ages, but it's considered that they were most likely cousins. Very interesting there. And so it's her sixth month for Elizabeth, and the angel comes and makes this greeting to Mary. And then verse 37 is so cool. The angel says, for nothing is impossible with God. Even your relative Elizabeth, even though she's older now, beyond the age of bearing children, but she's going to have a son as well. For nothing is impossible with God. Moms, let's take a break for just a moment here, and I want you to think about this. What is the number one thing that is troubling you right now? If there was one prayer that God could answer for you right now, what would that prayer be, And what would that answer look like in your mind? And I want you to remember this verse, for nothing is impossible with God. You are loved by God, you're highly favored by God, and He wants you to pray. And as you pray, He said, when I hear, I will answer. So I want you to hold on to what you're believing God for. I want you to know that with God, all things are possible. Amen? Let's get back to the verses here. Next verse is 38. Mary answers the angel after all of this. She says, I am the Lord's servant. So many of you moms, you serve your family so faithfully. You serve your husband. You serve your kids. You serve your grandkids. You serve family and friends around you. You serve people around you that you know and that you meet and that you love. And God just wants to bless you for that servant's heart that so many of you moms have. And she says, may it be to me, she says this to the angel, may it be to me as you have said. And then the angel left her. Now we transition a little bit where Mary now makes a visit to her cousin, her relative, Elizabeth. Verse 39 says this, at that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth, her cousin Elizabeth. Verse 41, when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaims, here's a prophetic word from Elizabeth for Mary, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Elizabeth is giving a prophetic word. The word Lord is capitalized there, indicating that this baby that Mary is carrying is the Messiah. He's the Lord. And so she says, why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord, the Messiah, should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy, Elizabeth tells Mary. And then she says in verse 45, blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. Ladies, again, as you are praying and believing God for whatever it is that you're crying out to the Lord about, whatever prayers you're lifting up to heaven and the throne of grace, she says, you're blessed, Mary, because you believed that what the Lord has told you, what the Lord has promised you, is going to happen. It's going to be accomplished. And so again, moms, I want you to be encouraged. Hold on for the answer that you're believing God for. Don't quit. Don't give up. Don't let go. But believe that what the Lord has told you, maybe in His Word or through a prophetic word like this or whatever, hold on to it. Don't let go. Trust God. Believe God. And in His way and in His time, He's going to bring it to pass for you. We go further. Now we switch to Mary kind of singing a song here, but also it's got some prophetic meaning to it as well. Verse 46 says, and Mary said, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for He has been mindful of the humble state of His servant. That's another great quality, another influential quality is the quality of humility. God loves to see us when we humble ourselves, because the Word says if we'll do that, then in due time, in due season, God will exalt us to places that we would never dream possible. The Word says He's been mindful of the humble state of His servant, of Mary. And so from now on, she says, all generations will call me blessed. Just like we saw the generations represented back in 2 Timothy with the grandmother Lois and the mother Eunice of Timothy, so now generations are going to call Mary blessed. For the mighty one, she says, has done great things for me. Holy is His name. His mercy extends to those who fear Him, those who reverence Him, those who are in awe of his greatness from, again, generation to generation. It's so important that we pass down our character traits, our beliefs, our core values to the next generation. And we see that in the lives of these women we're talking about today. Lois, Eunice, Elizabeth, Mary. So important that we pass it down from generation to generation. Deuteronomy talks about passing it down to our children and our grandchildren, and it gives us special times throughout the day. When your kids wake up in the morning, when they go to bed at night, when you're just driving down the road, it says walking in Scripture, now we drive. But it also talks about when we sit down to meals together. Those are special times that we can pass on what we've learned, pass on Scripture, pass on our values to our kids and our grandkids in those special moments of the day when they first get up, as we go along through the day, as we eat our meals together, and then as we put them to bed at night. That's the times to pass on your legacy to your kids and your grandkids. That's the time to influence them for good and for God. Amen? If you haven't done that, begin that practice, that habit in your life and the lives of your family. And then verse 51 says this, He, God, has performed mighty deeds with His arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. Again, pride will bring destruction, but humility will bring the blessing of God. He has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things. The word says, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. That's awesome. And then he goes further. He's filled with the hungry with good things, but he sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers. And so Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. And when it was time for Elizabeth to have her baby, she gave birth to a son. That son that the angel had told Zechariah was coming, that son is now born. Verse 58 says, Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy, and they shared her joy. They shared her joy. That's another trait of so many moms and grandmothers, is that joyful spirit, that joyful heart, that joyful countenance. It's such an influence, especially in times like this in which we live, where God's joy, the Bible says, is our strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. You can pass strength to the generations following you by being a joyful person. Even in the midst of a pandemic, you can have the joy of the Lord, and you can pass that joy on to your kids and to your grandkids. And when they see you at peace and full of joy, even in the midst of difficult times, it's a lesson to them. They're watching us. They're learning from us. And so, moms and grandmothers, let that joy of the Lord be your strength and pass that on to your kids and your grandkids. Well, as we come to a close here, let's skip down to verse number 67. And now we actually transition from the moms that we've been talking about back to Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist. And he gives a prophetic word as well as we close out this chapter. We begin at verse number 67. It says, His father Zechariah, John the Baptist's father, was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he prophesied. And here it is. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and redeemed his people. By the birth of Jesus, which is coming, hasn't happened yet at this part of Scripture, but it's coming, and it says he has come and has redeemed his people. That's why Jesus came to this earth, to seek and to save that which was lost. He came willingly. He came to deny himself and to take up the cross And he says, I want you to do the same. Deny yourself, take up the cross, and follow me, Jesus said. He has raised up a horn of salvation. The word horn here is a symbol of strength. It's a symbol of power. And he has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. Jesus is of the house and the lineage of David. That's why in Luke chapter 2, after the birth of Christ, when there was a decree that everybody had to be taxed, that's why Joseph and Mary had to go to their hometown to pay the tax. Yeah, but it was because he was from the house and from the line of David. Very significant in regards to the messianic prophecy. Verse 70, all of that as he said through his holy prophets of long ago that this would happen. Verse 71, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham to rescue us from the hand of our enemies. And then I love this, and to enable us to serve him without fear. Oh man, that's so great, especially at this time when fear may be so prevalent, when anxiety and stress may be so prevalent. He says that this oath was sworn to Abraham to rescue us and to enable us to serve him without fear, no fear, but also to serve him in holiness and righteousness before him all of our days. So all of our lives, all the days that we have on this planet can be lived, possibly lived, without fear and yet in holiness and in righteousness. The righteousness of God, which comes to us through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Then verse 76, and you, my child, Zechariah continues as he prophetically speaks, and you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High. That's what John the Baptist was going to be. For you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him. Oh, I love that. That's what John the Baptist did. He was the forerunner of Christ. He said, I'm not the Christ later in his life. I'm not the Christ. The one who comes after me, I'm not even worthy to untie his shoes. But there is one coming, the sinless Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, and his name is Jesus. And so he goes on. He says he's preparing the way for the Lord to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins. Remember, John the Baptist came preaching a message of repentance of sin and forgiveness of sin. Why? Because of the tender mercy of our God. Oh, guys, God is so loving, so merciful to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And then he says, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness. Guys, we may be living in some dark days, dark times right now, but there's a light. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And those, he came from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. My prayer for everyone this morning, but especially for you moms out there today, is that God will guide you into a path and a place of peace. A path and a place of peace. And as you experience that peace of God that passes all understanding, a peace that keeps your heart and your mind safe in Christ, I want you to pass that peace on to your kids and to your grandkids. I want that peace of God to influence their lives, not only your life today, but their lives as well. Let's pray. Father, this morning, I ask you to bless these precious ladies today, every mom out there today, every grandmother there today that's watching and listening to this. Bless them and lead them into that pathway and that place of peace for their own lives, and then to impart that peace that only you can give, impart that to their children and to their grandchildren today. Lord, bless them. Bless every mom. Lord, meet every need. Hear and answer their prayers. Grace them with your presence, with your peace, with your power, and most importantly, with your perfect love. For Father, your perfect love casts out all of our fear. And so, Lord, do that today for every mom. I pray a blessing upon them, upon their family, upon their household, that you would just move in a powerful way. And Lord, let them feel and sense your presence today. And we give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Now, for just a moment, we've got a special video that I'd like you to watch as we close. Again, God bless every one of you moms out there. We love you. We appreciate you. I know your families do. And again, we look forward to getting back together very soon. God bless you. Take care.